Good morning.
Good morning.
A beautiful day to gather together for worship in person and also online. Is Jesus still alive? Yes. That wasn't just the case for a few weeks. Of course he is still alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself then why? Why you? Why did God call you to faith? Even more than that, why did God send his son to die for you? It's not like any of us deserve it. Whether it's been asked or not, give thanks to God that he has done both, sent his son and also called you to faith through the gospel. What else does he have in mind for you? More on that during this hour of worship. Let's turn our attention to our worship, the invocation on page 3 of our bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Claim to be without sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
I tremble as I feel your hand, expecting retribution. Yet hear no curse or reprimand, but grace and absolution. With you there is forgiveness, Lord. You speak the sweet consoling word.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This world was so much higher.
we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
Please be seated. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. For this third Sunday of Easter, a reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, where we are reminded of the fact to not underestimate who God calls to faith and puts in a position to share the gospel. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Because of that great truth, what is Christ worthy to receive? A reading from Holy Scripture, Revelation 5. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
A strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart.
When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Please stand as able for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 21st chapter, where we're reminded of the fact that Jesus continues to equip his disciples. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
God's grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance. And this is thanks to our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures. We hear again from the book of Acts. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thankfully out of love has called us to be his own and given us purpose. Of all the people in the Bible, which one have you thought mirrors your life the most? Now, for a man, this could be a woman, and for a woman, this could be a man. We're not talking about any immorality or gender neutrality with this question. Well, while there could be a wide variety of possible people from the Bible that our life mirrors, for the sake of time, we're going to focus on one possible name that might come up of whom our life mirrors or vice versa, and that is the Apostle Paul. In a way, the life of Paul, who was also called Saul, his Jewish given name, but later on in Acts referred to as Paul, Gentile name, along with the implications of being a missionary to the Gentiles. Well, in a way, the life of Paul fits with us. Because of this common God-given theme and focus, and that is mission zeal writes no one off. Why not? Because the gospel has always been meant for all people. It has been meant for all people, and so no one is to be written off as we realize the risk and the reward that comes with sharing the gospel. Thankfully, the Lord's mission zeal writes no one off. Case in point, the Apostle Paul. I mean, we are familiar, most of us, if not all of us, with the life of Paul through our reading this morning. We are reminded of the fact that Saul was a persecutor of those who confessed faith in Jesus Christ. Strange in a little bit. Why? Because Saul, who we'll refer to as Paul, just to keep things somewhat consistent, Paul was a believer, in a way. I mean, he followed the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament very well. He was a Pharisee, one of the ruling class of people in the Jewish religious circles. And he took pride in not just being a Pharisee, but a Pharisee of Pharisees. He took work righteousness to a whole new level. And he was proud of it. The indication is there. And because of who he was, that Pharisee of Pharisees, and the Pharisees had no regard for Jesus, this Messiah, well, he would go to the chief priests and say, "I am willing to go and round up those who confess faith in this Jesus, the Messiah." They will be arrested, and some of them will even be put to death. In fact, recall Stephen. Who was at the feet of Stephen when he was stoned for his confession of faith? Saul, named Paul. Saul took his persecution of Jesus and his followers very seriously. But the Lord's mission zeal writes no one off, not even Saul. And so on the way to persecute believers of Jesus, on the road to Damascus, the Lord in his mission zeal calls out to Saul, Paul, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" God showed mercy to Saul, to Paul. Did he deserve it? Absolutely not. I mean, after all, he was on his way to round up believers, men and women of the way, those who confess faith in Jesus. The Lord called him out on it. "You're persecuting me, the Savior." And there were witnesses to the fact that something was going on there in the life of Paul. I mean, they could hear it, even though they could see it, but they couldn't hear the voice itself, what he was saying. But later on, they would come to know. Do you think Paul grew to be grateful for the mission zeal of the Lord in his life? That he wasn't written off? You bet, right? Because he went on by God's grace to be the greatest, you can make a case for it, the greatest missionary of all time. Because the Lord had different plans for Paul. The Lord was going to use Paul's background. Paul was a Roman citizen. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the Old Testament very well. He was able to get around. He knew people, how to get around. And God was going to use that background for good, for his purposes. Do you see the grace of God in your life? Do you see the Lord's mission zeal for you that he has not written you off either? I mean, he easily could, right? I mean, in one hand, are we really any better than Paul? Are we any more deserving of God's grace than Paul was? Now, we may not have persecuted Christians or believers or anyone else for that matter, but are we just as guilty of sin as Paul was or anybody else was and is? Just the fact that we are conceived and born into this world puts us at odds with God. And God could simply write us off, but he hasn't. And there are various ways, and the Lord has brought you to see his grace in your life. It might have been as an infant through the waters of holy baptism connected to the power of the word. Might have been later in life through the hearing of the message. Perhaps you were a little hellion growing up. Maybe your college years weren't the greatest. Can't talk about them. At least you don't want your kids to know. But yet the Lord didn't write you off. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean, though, that people don't fall away from the Lord, even though he has shown his desire to bring all people to his truth. The reason why God doesn't write you off as well is because he has great plans for you, too. Well, we may not be the greatest missionary, at least that may not be our reputation like the Apostle Paul. God still has plans for you and for me and all his believers to be missionaries, to be salt and light in this world. So that other people too can realize that they have not been written off by the Lord. They might have different colored hair. They may have tattoos all over them. They may wear a whole bunch of jewelry. They may not look or talk or act like us. And our first impression oftentimes when we see people who do not look like us or what we think they should look like is what? But really it needs to be. It doesn't mean we're going to be buddy-buddy, but God has not written anyone off. All people are fair game to hear the gospel. All people need to hear the gospel. Because all people, like you and me, are born in sin and commit sin each and every day. And so we need the gospel in our life. Because there is only one gospel. There is only one way to heaven, and Jesus is that way. Even though our world teaches multiple ways to get right with God and defines who that God is in different ways, there is only one God, and there is only one way to get right with that God, and that is through Jesus. That is not a secret. Christianity is an open book. There are no secret handshakes. There are no secret codes or formulas to learn. It's an open book. Believe in Jesus and be saved. The Lord doesn't hide our sins and our need for a Savior. He doesn't hide who that Savior is. And so the gospel writer, by inspiration, rightly says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And so thankfully, in God's mission zeal, He writes no one off. Not Paul, not you, not me, not anyone. And at the heart of that mission zeal is the work of Jesus, the cross that He died on, assuring us that indeed each and every one of our sins has been paid for, no matter how bad those sins have been when we were little kids or in high school or in college or in the workplace or whatever. They can be forgiven and have been forgiven. I mean, again, Paul was a persecutor of believers and he was forgiven. All because of that cross. Not our cross, His cross. And then we're reminded of the fact, too, that at the heart of that mission zeal that God has for us is the empty tomb, another promise kept. And because He lives, we too shall live. This is not all there is. And we get to that place that Jesus has won for us, not by anything we can do, but all by what Jesus already has done for us. Mission zeal writes no one off. Even though we realize that sharing the gospel can come with a risk. Think of the Apostle Paul. What were some of the risks of the Apostle Paul sharing the gospel? Well, there were some people, even Ananias right away, who was going, Lord, are you sure about this guy? I mean, you do know why he was coming to Damascus. He was coming to kill me and others like me. Or at least give us a very hard time because we confess faith in you. But the Lord reminded Ananias, you know what? Paul's going to know how much he's going to suffer on account of me. I'm going to use his background for the spread of the gospel, but at the same time, I'm going to continually shape him to be come that greatest missionary. And so Paul got to the point where he would say, I'm not ashamed of that very gospel I was trying to snuff out. Or sitting in a prison cell, he would say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. All because of the Lord's mission zeal in his life. The Lord did not write him off. Paul would suffer great things on behalf and in the name of the Lord, and yet he was willing to take that risk because he knew through his own life experience too that it's only the gospel the way, Jesus, that is going to make a difference in people's lives. And so he was willing to be arrested and beaten, even though he was a Roman citizen and had to remind people of that. He knew the risks. But in his mission zeal, fueled by the Lord, he didn't want to write anyone off, neither Jew nor Gentile. The book of Romans lays that out beautifully for us. And Christians, while we're still persecuted today in one form or another, especially in other parts of the world, Christians are rounded up and put to death, or made lesser citizens. It's happening subtly and not so subtly in our own country. Less and less say. And again, that's what we're thankful for. We remember, even though we may not feel like we have much power on this side of heaven, we're still more than conquerors and we're going to heaven. And they can't touch us there. But in the meantime, sharing the gospel may come with risk from your own family even. Name calling. Some can get downright nasty. People who claim to be tolerant are some of the most intolerant. Those who claim they want to coexist, it's a sham. If they really did, they would be open to your gospel message. So sharing the gospel does come with risk as an individual and collectively. But the Lord knows that we're going to endure that. He knew the Apostle Paul would have to endure great trials on account of sharing the gospel. He knows you and I and the church at large will have to face great trials and persecution for the sake of sharing the gospel. And he equips us for such. He doesn't hide the fact that we're going to have to endure such for his name, but he equips us to endure it. He tells us we're going to go through many trials and tribulations. In Revelation, we're reminded that believers come out of the great tribulation. And so he points out then, be faithful, even to the point of death. You may lose your life for me and for my gospel. But look what you gain in place of that. Goes back to the empty tomb. Because he lives, we too shall live. And so, God help us be willing to take the risk. To not write someone off, though they look different from us, or act differently from us, or have a different political view than us. Only Satan wants us to stop talking about politics and religion with other people. But again, dear friends, always speak the truth in love. And the reward? Well, Paul was able to see many rewards. He was able to see how people, through the preaching of the gospel, would come to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and turn their life around. I mean, immorality was just as rampant then as it is today. And Paul also said, I can't wait to get to heaven to see people who were touched with the gospel that I wasn't even aware of. Paul knew his mission. He knew that he was a missionary to the Gentiles. God was using his background as a Roman citizen to reach the Gentiles, but also then his tenacity to take on the Jews who would challenge him in his sharing the gospel. But he also had a heart for his fellow Jews. And so the Lord equipped Paul, and he rewarded him as well. Do you see the rewards of sharing the gospel in your own life? Again, as an individual or as a congregation of believers, sons and daughters, grandchildren who have come to the font of holy baptism, that's a reward. Sharing the gospel with people. Again, maybe they don't join the church, but they confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's a reward. It's not about joining the church per se. It's about getting people connected to Jesus. If they join the church, that's the gravy on top of the mashed potatoes. Salt-free, of course. And so let us be salt and light in this world. The rewards are great. Witness opportunities abound, right? And so directly and indirectly, God help us hold on to that mission zeal, which is not willing to write off anyone. And through our congregation mission offerings, we're able to do just that too. As we are able, by God's grace, to reach out to not only people in our own country that we directly cannot reach, but people throughout the world. God is opening doors. And so God help us take on the risk and see the reward of the mission zeal he has put into our hearts. God be praised, right, for the mercy he has put into our own life. And for that same mercy he has made available to all people. And so let us not write people off. Again, whether they disagree with us politically or on lifestyle or whatever. We may not be able to worship together now on this side of heaven, but Lord willing, touched by the gospel, we'll be able to worship together forever in heaven. And that happens as we point people to Jesus, the way. That, dear friends, is true love in action. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we confess our faith, a statement of what we believe regarding Jesus on page 10. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the prayer of the church. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially
we rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne, and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with understanding and knowledge of your truths.
Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted in the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety. Bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. O risen Savior, grant us then hearts to yield you gladly, freely of your own. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you at length, believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Lord, you saw fit to bring Joan Pearlberg home, the home won for her by her Lord and Savior. Thank you for bringing her to faith in Jesus and leading her to be a faithful child and spouse and parent and friend and servant. Be with those who mourn her earthly departure. Help them and us all stay focused on the hope she lived and is ours too through Jesus. Continue to be the source of strength for Arnold and Linda Detmer, as Arnold is still working through challenges to his health. Help the doctors, we pray, find answers to these challenges so he can get back on his feet once again. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, thank you for this opportunity in their life, and continue to watch over them, helping them see the blessings in their life together. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus. We also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we turn to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. As you go on your way this week, may the Lord help you see the mission field that lies before us and find ways to be that salt and light to our neighbor. Again, not always in your face with our faith, but just living the faith is a good start, a good witness. Thank you for filling out the Connect cards each week. Appreciate that. And encouraging others to do the same. And again, if information changes as far as address or email or phone number, please include that on those Connect cards. Bible study, we're still looking at the Bible passages serving as a foundation behind Handel's Messiah, so come for this enjoyable Bible study. Sunday school, again, for the month of May, will be starting in the church at 9:15, so you can join the sing-along if you would like to do that. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, it's the first Sunday of the month, so mission box opportunity. Again, if you want to learn more about that, please see the information board there. And thank you for your generous support of missions locally and abroad. At the later service, we are having our examination and confirmation. We have two confirmands this year, and we'll see how they do on the hour questions. No, I'm just kidding. We know where they're at right now, so we're not here to embarrass them, but they will give a testimony of their faith. Family Connect today at roughly noon in the Multipurpose Center. So Ryan and Kaiser Miller have coordinated lunch and activities just to help us have more fellowship opportunity. And then following the Family Connect in the Multipurpose Center at 2 o'clock, we have our in-person Jesus Cares. Joan's Victory Service is scheduled for May 11th here at the church at 11 a.m. You can see the weekly news for that reminder. And just a reminder, too, a lot of email scams are going around. Even there was one from our district president. They like to hack those official emails. And so anytime either a pastor or a teacher or a district president is asking you for money through an email, you know, red flag, we're not going to come to you that way for money or for gift cards or something. So just FYI, is not just from us, but from anybody, right? The scams are out there. So just be wary of people who are asking you for money. Always another good reminder. We want to be generous and help people, but we also have to be cautious and realistic, common sense. See the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.